Dear readers, Spirit August 2021. On the cover I see a green pasture with sheep and goats grazing around, some water and rocks, and there's a big lake with clear blue sky. God bless our troops, page 9. The boy and the horse, page 13. Post about this toast, page 12. And random funnies on page 14. Spirit, August 2021. Dear readers, those who are regular readers will know of my fondness for Richmond Crompton's William stories. There's a particular story that comes to my mind as I think of this month's editorial message. William's elder brother Robert has discovered a self-empowerment book and repeats to himself a phrase that sounds something like, "Invincible power surges within me." He's shocked at the immediate results of his positive thinking. People are kinder, more respectful, more considerate. Little does poor Robert know that those results are probably due to his younger brother's rumor mongering. William has convinced the town that Robert is heir to a large legacy. But Robert was right in a way. Positive thinking is good for the body and the mind. Positive self-talk can quite literally make your heart happy. One Johns Hopkins study shows that positive thinkers with at-risk for heart disease were 1/3 less likely to get a heart attack than those who are more negative. Being mindful or heartful can be so difficult because of the many other thoughts that are floating around our heads. It helps to know that hope is powerful. Worry and anxiety are natural feelings too, but try to make time for yourself to be hopeful and positive. Meditate if you can. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing or feeling, you are worthy and awesome. Let's do this. With love, Editor Janu. Editor Janu at thehappyherald.org. Code of the month for August 2021. Every day is a blessing and a new hope. You can and you will. Page 3. Jane and the Fire by Janu. In 1958, young Jane has just moved to the city of Chicago, Illinois, with her parents and cousins Billy. Jane and her new friends, the Landry twins, have just witnessed a secret meeting of the three thugs. The kids spied out an image of an old building that they know to be across the street from the bank. The game is afoot, as they say. Note, thanks to some helpful reader feedback, the tense of the story is shifting from present to the past tense. Enjoy. Uncle Wallace began then to depart but turned back. "But just you remember, Mr. Macaulay, I've got my eye on you all. And on that note, he disappeared into the growing throng of customers. Up in the vent, as at the corner table below, important realizations were being arrived at. "That settles it," Paige said. "These three thugs are up to no good." Agreed Don. "Well, we're going to get to the bottom of this," added Jane. "I don't think it's safe to meet here now," said Mr. Bennett. "Give me the paper," said Mr. Macaulay. "What about tomorrow evening at Mr. Bennett's?" asked Mr. Pia. They all nodded and hurried away. "How are we supposed to find out more?" Don wondered aloud. "I mean, if they aren't meeting here..." "You forget," said Jane. "Mr. Bennett is my neighbor, but they are only meeting tomorrow evening." "Maybe," Don mused. "We could explore a bit. Look around that abandoned building, you know." He was cut off rudely by a sudden rumbling all around them. "Oh no," cried Paige. "They're getting ready to empty the laundry chute. It's connected to this big vent." This former bit sort of was to Jane, "and actually, we're not quite sure why this big space even exists. But we have to get out. Now." "Right you are, Paige," agreed Don. They all began struggling to clamber down the vent. "What happens if we don't get out in time?" Jane asked nervously. "We'll be trapped in here by the pile of laundry at the bottom of the chute, at least for 30 minutes, until we get noticed," said Don doughtily. He made it sound as if it was something very par for the course. This was less drastic than Jane had expected, but she was beginning to feel a bit peckish already. Another 30 minutes? Well, they managed to hop out of the vent just in time. Paige was at the back, and just as she slid out of the vent into the bright noon sunlight, an enormous heap of soiled linen fell with a whump down to the bottom of the vent. They quickly replaced the trash can they had pushed aside to climb into the vent and dusted themselves off. As I was saying, Don continued, we could go explore that old building, see what is to be seen and all. I am expected home for lunch now, Jane said. Won't you both like to come? They all went into the Hungry Eagle so that the Landrys could ask their parents for permission to go to lunch. A few minutes later, they were traipsing happily along the busy main road that led to Jane's apartment. A major benefit of walking along such a loud road is that passing pedestrians can hardly hear a word one says. In a few minutes, they were in the center of the market square, which was across the street from the park. They stopped at the park gate and looked at the crowds of people hurrying about their days. Funny how everyone has something to do today, said Jane. And somewhere to be, said Paige. She shielded her eyes against the glare of the noonday sun. It looks like Mr. Bennett and Mr. Peel are pretty busy. Sure enough, the two men were standing in the shade of the very same old building that they had pasted into their false newspaper. They were arguing and gesticulating angrily. They were also inching closer to the door of the old building. It was obvious that they planned to scurry to the building as surreptitiously as possible. The three kids looked at each other. They hesitated for a moment, then quietly followed the two figures who had just reached the porch. It was fortunate that Mr. Bennett and Mr. Peel were very preoccupied with their own argument. They didn't notice the kids crawl hands and knees past the wide porch and line up quietly by the creeping mass of the ivy on the side of the building. I was quite clear that I don't like black coffee, cried Mr. Bennett. I told you, cream and lots of sugar, and black coffee is my worst nightmare. I don't recall you saying that, said Mr. Peel nonchalantly. And anyway, too much sugar isn't good for health, so really you should be saying thank you. Jane held her breath. Mr. Peel had been strolling around the porch as Mr. Bennett struggled with the lock. If he had moved any closer to the guardrail on the right side of the porch, Jane and both Landry twins would be in full view. Mr. Peel raised a foot to move forward. Jane closed her eyes and steeled herself for the inevitable. Any moment now, Mrs. Peel and Bennett would notice them, the kids, and this meant that the latter group would have to flee or be caught. But nothing happened. Paige nudged her after a moment, and Jane opened her eyes to see Mr. Peel staring open-mouthed with his foot still in the air at the busy road. What caught Mr. Peel's attention? We'll find out next month. Page 6. The fruit of the month is Lads Discuss Gooseberry. We're going to not discuss, but we're going to discuss gooseberry. All about Amla Gooseberry by Janu. The name gooseberry might put you off, but this magnificent fruit isn't just for the geese. Gooseberry, also called Amla in India, is grown all around the world in different varieties. The fruit has been gathered and cultivated for many centuries for its many medicinal properties and uses. Gooseberry plants are typically very spiny, and the berries themselves can be green, pale yellow, white, or even pink. What are the aforementioned health benefits of eating amla? Gooseberries are highly nutritious fruits, containing vitamin B5, B6, copper, potassium, manganese, and lots of vitamin C. 1 cup of gooseberries contains 7 grams of fiber, but just 66 calories. They are very filling and aid in weight loss. Gooseberries are rich in flavonols, antioxidants that have stroke-reducing and antiviral properties. Organic acids housed in gooseberries reduce risk of Alzheimer's disease. Plus, they give the fruit a tart taste. Too much iron in the body makes the brain vulnerable to degenerative diseases. Citric acid in gooseberries reduces iron in the brain and helps prevent such diseases if they are eaten regularly. Amla can reduce levels of bad cholesterol in the bloodstream. Also, it works to reduce effects of bad heartburn. You can eat amla raw or with a sprinkle of chili powder and salt. Gooseberries are a remarkably healthy fruit. Give them a try. This page has a picture of gooseberries, which is the green gooseberries with a few of the leaves, and one gooseberry cut open in half. Page 7 is Fine Arts, Blue Ridge 1 and 2 by Janu. It's a beautiful green landscape, high from a mountain, and it looks like a couple of cities are in there. Then there is a lake with some sailboats far, far away and a motorboat. And further down the horizon, there are mountains. Sri Rangam Temple, Rajagopuram. That's a cross-stitch by Lakshmi Bhatti. It's a temple with a beautiful architecture made out of cross-stitch and a picture of that. Setting Mango in the Sky by Naveen. It shows Lake Champlain, sunset. So there's rocks, water, and sunset. Are you an artist, poet, photographer, or a writer? Send us your artwork, composition, photography, etc. to see it featured in a future edition of Spirit. Email editor Janu at thehappyherald.org with inquiries. Page 8, The Funny by Thambu. Random funnies. Snacks on the go. Oi, Burke, what are you doing with them all sandwiches? Putting them in my pockets so I can eat them while we run. Burke, your parents signed you up for running so you'd get in shape, not out of it. I know. I'm just going to have some snacks on the go. Aroma of Burke's sandwiches reaches the dogs that are on the street. 3, 2, 1, go. All the runners, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, start running while Burke is trying to munch on a sandwich as he runs. Huh? How is Burke so fast? What? Ha ha ha. The dogs started running behind Burke so that they can catch him up with the sandwiches. There's another one called Fish Food. Delicious supper, dear. Now I'm going to go for a stroll before bed. There are three fishes, a mommy fish, a baby fish, and a daddy fish. Oh no, Dad, you can't do that. Why not? You can't swim after you eat. You will upset your stomach. Ha 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 ha. The daddy fish has a mustache. The mommy fish has a bow on her head. And the baby fish has a hat that's like a helicopter on its head. Page 9. God bless our troops in Kabul. With gratitude by Janu. The United States of America was born out of the moldering ruins of the practice of colonization. It was a strange beginning, yet a powerful one. Defeating such terrible odds as the early Americans faced instilled in our citizens a fire, the unflinching royal spirit of Americans. We are a beacon of hope, a lamp raised high, a model of constitutional democracy. We hold these truths to be self-evident, our founders wrote, that all people are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. These freedoms are bought and preserved by our troops. It was so in the Revolutionary War among 250 years ago, and it is so now. It takes a great deal of courage to serve in the military, and it takes a great deal of national pride. It takes us nothing less than the mind and the heart of a patriot. War is unpardonable. The carnage and loss of life in combat is very difficult even to comprehend. It's a testament to their courage and fealty that our troops line up to serve. We are free to pursue our hopes and dreams, to sleep and feel safe at night, to live and be happy with our families because our troops are on the front lines. A security exists because our troops offer theirs. Flags flew half-mast on August 26 to honor the American service members killed in the Kabul bombing. I recall the words of President Abraham Lincoln, who wrote a letter once to a Massachusetts mother who had lost 5 sons in the Civil War. I pray that our Heavenly Father may assuage the anguish of your bereavement and leave you only the cherished memory of the loved and lost and the solemn pride that must be yours. to have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. My undying gratitude goes to our troops and veterans, now and always. God bless. May we never forget the price we pay for peace. Page 10. Jot Thoughts Reviews. A Critique on Literature and More. There Never Were Such Mighty Ducks by Janu. If The Mighty Ducks was a dictionary entry, it would read, the throwback feel-good sports movie of the 90s. And it's not baseball, it's hockey. Of all the 90 movies out there, I'm going to say this one takes the puck. The Mighty Ducks is a story of a hopeless PV hockey team. PV means ages 11 and 12-ish. The District 5 team has a lot of talent and plenty of humor, but approximately no capital. Gordon Bombay, aka the man from the Breakfast Club, appears on the scene too. But at first, things seem as hopeless as ever. That is, until the Ducks get inspired and secure funding. Coach Bombay really brings the team together, and you'll find yourself rooting for the Ducks pretty soon. None of the characters are superfluous. This is very refreshing in this type of movie. They all have a role. Everman serves as the comic relief, Bank carries the plot, Coach Bombay himself is the protagonist, etc., etc., etc. In short, you should watch this movie. Guaranteed, almost to make you smile. It's one of my favorite movies and a kind of a pleasant little tale. It serves as a reminder that good sportsmanship outweighs a win, but hard work pays off too. It gets a 5-star rating. Page 11, letters to the editor. Dear editor, I always like the quote of the month. The Jane and the Fire story is quite interesting too. I feel energetic seeing the spirit of Novak Djokovic. I enjoyed the folk tales. Happy to imagine Janu on that day, which was mentioned in the piece, fond younger memories. I think each edition gets better and better with more interesting content. Perry. The serial story is getting more engaging and it's lovely to read more of the magazine. The colored cartoons are fantastic too. I'm reminded of the times I looked for the cartoons in the newspaper every morning as a kid, and kudos to cartoonist Navin. Can we hear about the Indian Amla in the next fruit column? Really nice doodles by Janu in the previous fine arts column. Manju. Dear editor, I don't think we can get prickly pear here in India. All the same, it sounds wonderful. Exquisite vocabulary can be found in spirit, not only in the books referred in the review column, my dear editor. I only learned some of the information about the Olympics now. Intriguing. Naveen's story was terrific as usual. What a nice moral. I like golf. Congratulations and all the best to Colin. The information about masking now is relevant and very important these days. Thank you for writing about it. Means a lot. Wonderful photography by Vijay and Naveen. The deer looks so cute. Bharati. 12. Cooking Kali. Toast about which you can boast by Janu. I always associate the start of the academic year with busyness. As in, you wake up and there are things to do, i.e. going to school, which is where this great toast comes in. Avocado toast is a quick, healthy, delicious breakfast, and the winning combination of nourishing, tasty and filling is one we are always looking for. Ingredients: fresh avocado, tomato, salt, pepper, bread, lemon juice. Prepare the avocado first. Slice an avocado in half around the seed and scrape the fruit using a spoon. Put the avocado in a bowl and mash well with the fork. The extent of the mashing, if you will, is entirely up to you. Incorporate salt and pepper now and mix well. Dice the tomato and add the pieces in now. Adding the tomato too early can ruin the consistency of avocado, especially if the tomato is very juicy. Drizzle a little bit of fresh lemon juice on top now. Mix the tomato piece and the lemon around with your fork gently. Now it's bread time. Baguettes, ciabatta rolls and ordinary wheat bread are just a few options for the bread type. Toast the bread well and spread your avocado mixture on top. That's all for this quick weekday breakfast. Enjoy! Page 13, The Boy and the Horse. Old Folk Tales. Originally by Preeta Kristen as both in Jorge, retold by Naveen. Once upon a time, there was a poor old widow with only one son. This son was hardworking, but other than that, he was quite an unremarkable chap. Once the boy turned 16, the widow told him that he should go out into the world and earn his own living, as she could not support him any longer. The boy started off and was walking through the forest when he came upon a strange old man at the side of the road. The old man asked him, "Where are you headed, laddie?" The boy replied that he was going out into the world to try and find a place to stay. "Well," said the old man, "you can come and serve me, and I shall give you a lodge." The boy, not having anything better to do, went along with the old man. He lived in a wooden house with a large main room and four side rooms, which were never open. The boy's only task was to give the old man company, and they got along well enough. He was usually bored, having nothing to do except walking around the main room over and over. One day, the old man left on an 8-day trip and forbade the boy to enter the four side rooms, on pain of his life. Though the boy tried his best, after 3 or 4 days, his curiosity made him open the first room. There was nothing in it but an old bramble sweep, and the boy left it. When the old man returned and discovered that the boy had visited the room, he told the boy that he would kill him. The poor boy cried and begged so much. However, the old man relented and just thrashed him. 3 more times the old man went on trips, and each time the boy opened a new door, receiving a beating when the old man came home. The second room held a rock and a pitcher of water, and the third held a boiling pot of some gold liquid and some ointment that would heal any wound. The fourth room held a horse, which was tied up just out of reach of some hay. Near its tail was a mound of red-hot coal, which constantly scorched it and made it quite uncomfortable. The boy took pity on the animal and cut its rope, allowing it to reach the hay. The horse was pleased and gratified and told him that the old man was actually a troll planning to eat the boy up. It gave him several instructions, which the boy followed in a hurry. He first put on a coat of mail, which he found in the main room, and collected the pitcher of water, rock, and the bramble sweep. After this, he bathed in the pot of liquid, and when he emerged, he was handsome, strong, and brave. He mounted the horse, which galloped away at a fast pace, but at that moment, the old man troll came home. He saw the boy escaping and called his entire pack of trolls, and they gave pursuit. As the trolls gained on them, the horse instructed the boy to throw the sweep of bramble sticks behind them. When the boy did that, a huge forest grew on the spot, but the trolls cut through it and continued the chase. When the boy threw the rock, a mountain was erected, but the trolls mined under it. Finally, in confusion, the boy threw the water pitcher, and a round lake formed around the trolls, who now stood on an island. As all of us know, trolls just loathe water, and they have been trapped on that island forever. To this day, they roam around their tiny island, hands jammed in pockets, and all of them in a terrible temper. The boy by now had reached a kingdom that the horse guided him to. It told him to put on a wig made of moss to hide his handsome face and to ask for work in the castle. When he needed the horse, it said he only had to call for it. The boy thanked the horse for its help and found work in the kingdom as a king's gardener's assistant. He worked hard but was constantly mocked by the other workers for how ridiculous he looked because of his moss wig. One day the boy was very exhausted from working in the hot sun and he removed his wig. As fate would have it, the princess saw his handsome and strong form from her window and became his admirer. Meanwhile, the king of this kingdom was going to go to war against the neighboring kingdom, where an evil man ruled. All the men trooped off to war every morning, but the boy whom we are following was only given a sickly burrow to ride. To get to battle, the men rode over a swamp, but the boy's burrow lacked the energy to move through it and remained stuck in it. The boy looked quite ridiculous, wearing a wig of moss and shouting, gee up, to a burrow that was quite incapable of doing such a thing. The rest of the men, including the king, mocked him and laughed, then went on their way to war. While they were fighting, the enemy kingdom slowly gained the upper hand. Finally, a gleaming knight swept into the field and pushed back the enemy kingdom's forces. Before anyone could make inquiries, he vanished into the woods. Now, this knight was actually only the boy, who had removed his wig and called for the horse who was his friend. When the army trooped back to the kingdom for the night, they found the boy still vainly urging his burrow in the swamp, as he had rushed back there after the night fight. The king realized that the boy had a large gash in his leg, so he gave him a handkerchief to tie around it. The next day, the men were once again losing the battle, having left the boy behind with his burrow in the swamp. Soon the knight appeared once again, saving the day. He slew the enemy king and the war was won. When the king rode up to thank the knight for his aid, he noticed his own kerchief on the man's leg. The king realized in a flash that the handsome knight who had saved the kingdom was the ugly gardener boy. The soldiers all apologized to the boy for their mean-spirited actions and led him home. When they arrived, the princess was introduced to him, and in time they became king and queen of the land, and all were peaceful and happy. Now, one may ask, what happened to the horse? Well, the horse had now become very glum and refused food. When the boy, now he is the king, asked it what he should do to cheer it up, it told him to cut off its head. The boy was aghast, as the horse was his dearest friend and the reason for his good fortune. But at last the horse convinced him. He turned his face aside, raised his sword and struck. To his amazement, a king in splendid clothes, about his age, stood before him. The king explained that he had once been a king of the neighboring kingdom. That kingdom had been good and prosperous, but an evil man whom the boy slain had overthrown the king and turned him over to a troll who turned him into a horse and kept him prisoner. Now that all the evil was undone, both kingdoms became havens of peace and wealth for years to come, and the two kings visited each other as often as they could. The end. Thank you for listening.